I want to create a world where parents can have it all. That's, you know, and I do live by that. I don't think that running a business or having a career and a family has to be a choice. I just don't understand in this day and age why we can't do it all.
This is the Juggle Podcast.
If you want a satisfying career and a fulfilling family life, this is the podcast for you.
Join me, Jo Lilovich,
and me, Lucy Dickens,
as we share strategies and insights to help you keep your balls in the air. Welcome back to The Juggle. Hi, I'm Jo Lilovich.
And I'm Lucy Dickens. Thanks for coming back.
Today we have a big question that a lot of people are often asking themselves when it's time to return to work. And that question is, who's going to look after my kids? It's something that parents have to battle either alone or in a partnership, in a relationship, as they decide, you know, is it worth returning to work and is this something that I want to do and what will the impact be on my children? And there are so many different options. We are really fortunate to have a guest with us today who has created a new way of thinking about childcare and managing work at the same time.
Today's guest is the owner and founder of Bubdesk, mini parent co-working centres within childcare centres, which allow new parents to transition their babies into childcare more gently. Bubdesk has 7 centres around Perth and plans to expand nationally by the end of 2018. So Meg Burridge, thank you for joining us.
Hi guys, thank you very much for having me on. This is exciting.
Thanks for being here, Meg.
Meg, I first heard about Bubdesk a couple of years ago when I had Lily at work with me. I took her in until she was about 11 months old and I had her in a client meeting and one of my clients said, have you heard about Bubdesk? It's similar to what you're doing, except you don't have to have your baby with you. Somebody else can take care of them. And I don't think that was a backhanded, you know, your baby shouldn't be here. It was really, you'd like this. You're into this kind of thing. So yeah. Tell us a bit about Bubdesk. You described it to me as the Airbnb of childcare. Tell us a bit more about what it is and how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's different now, definitely, to how it was when we started out. So initially, you know, I was working a corporate job and I guess I was just finding that, you know, trying to get my baby to daycare in the morning and then get to work and work a full day and get back before pickup, I was just burning out quickly. So it was at about that point that I thought, you know, there must be an easier way to do this. Why can't I just take my baby to work? And this idea for creating a parent workspace that had childcare connected to it came to me. And I, of course, started to circulate it amongst my circles and, you know, everyone said sounded like the greatest idea. So, being the irrational person that I am, I went and quit my job, created this giant co-working space with Creche in Northbridge, you know, thinking it was destined for success.
So was it the difficulties that you found in returning to work and transitioning back that led you to start Bubdesk, or was there something else?
Initially, I couldn't get my child into daycare, so I was having a real problem with wait lists, and I'd put his name on the wait list, you know, before he was born, and we got to that 6-month mark and I still couldn't get him into the ones that I wanted to send him to. So I sent him to the only one that had space, and within a week he had pneumonia. So, you know, daycare for us was pretty much a write-off, you know, and his immune system was so shot after that we ended up going down the route of an au pair, which, you know, for us worked amazingly well. But for other people, I just saw this big gap in the market, you know, where I just thought, this is just a service that would help so many people. And that's how I sort of got to this point of wanting to combine workspace and childcare.
And something like that incredibly negative experience that you just had with your son getting pneumonia would turn a lot of people off, and it would be a clear reason why, you know, people would look for an alternative. Is that what you also found?
Yeah, and I mean, it is difficult with childcare, and even with Bubdesk, we can't fix the problem of that. You know, when babies start daycare, there are all those germs out there and their immune systems are not that strong and they do tend to get sick, you know, and it's just how it is, sadly. And I don't think that the Bubdesk model, you know, really helps that at all, actually. But it was just a struggle that I had early on that made me, I guess, just open my mind to what other ways are there to do this rather than dropping my child at a childcare that I'm not particularly impressed with and leaving him there 5 days a week.
So, Meg, you mentioned the model that you have for Bubdesk. Can you tell us exactly what it is now that Bubdesk is providing?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, you know, when I started, it was that standalone building with a creche service, but being a creche, parents had to stay on site and they also couldn't get the rebate. And parents definitely want the government rebate. So towards the end of the 12 months, I really, yes, they definitely do. So, and they also wanted the flexibility to be able to duck out for a meeting, you know, so being chained to the office really didn't work for them. So, you know, the idea was good, but it just had limitations that meant that it wasn't really viable. So towards the end of the 12 months, I thought, well, how can I do this better? And I started talking to childcare centre operators that I'd already come in contact with throughout the year. And I just explained that, you know, our current model didn't really work, but I had these parents who still needed the service. And, you know, did they potentially have some space in their childcare centres that could accommodate these working parents? And thankfully, the first couple that I asked said yes, and it sort of stemmed from there. So, you know, it went from being quite a large co-working space in Northbridge that probably could have accommodated 15 parents at one time to being more of a decentralised model with, you know, childcare centres all over Perth that now offer one or two desks where parents can work just while they're transitioning their baby into care. And they tend to not use it for a long time. I mean, it might be for 3 months, 6 months while they're still feeding or just, you know, while they're going through that whole transition and getting their baby used to the childcare arrangement. But once their baby's settled, they do tend to go back to their normal place of work. So, you know, there's always new and interesting people coming through the centres.
That's one that I saw on your website that I can relate to. One of the people, the Bubdesk users who you have on your homepage, and I love the little names that you've got for each of them. And one of them you call the bottle refuser. That was us.
Yeah.
My daughter Lily flat out refused a bottle and still hasn't drunk milk from a bottle to this day. So I can really see the benefits of if you need to be back at work and you can't have your baby with you, being able to have them in care but still be able to feed them and keep them alive. So I can really see that benefit. I have personal experience on that one. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you know, it has its challenges working from a childcare centre. I mean, it's not the quietest working environment. It's sort of a compromise you make for being able to work close by your baby. But it's always...
And to step up from working from home.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's always a professional, you know, work environment. You're not working in the childcare room itself. You're at a desk and there's a printer and Wi-Fi and coffee, but it can be noisy. And the educators will give you a buzz, you know, if your baby is due for a feed or if they're just, you know, really unsettled and need a bit of a cuddle. And it gives the parents the option to take the baby out for lunch if they want to or spend a little bit of time with them throughout the day.
So it's interesting. It sounds like it's very much Bubdesk has become very much a transition step for both, not only the parent, but the child. So we've got the opportunity for the parent to be there in the same building as the child while the child is learning about daycare and how that process works. And also the carer is having that ability to be in a you know, reasonably quiet workspace and feel yeah. what it's like to return to being, you know, a working parent again.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and there are sort of additional benefits. I mean, the parents who use the service get to know the staff really well, where, you know, the childcare centre that I've used for my son for the last couple of years, I still don't really know the centre staff that well. You know, I drop my child off in the morning and I pick him up last thing in the afternoon, but these guys really get to, you know everyone by name and proper in-depth conversations with what their baby's up to during the day. And it is, you know, it is definitely a transition service more these days. I mean, there are big companies like Synergy, for example, that have included the service in their diversity strategy.
And tell us a little bit more about that, because we know that I think originally part of your plan was, or perhaps I'm getting it wrong, but I thought that, you know, some of the early pitch was towards women entrepreneurs or people working in their own businesses, but it's very much not that case at all, is it? Bubdesk is very much for any woman who's working, whether for themselves or for an employer.
Yeah, that's right. And even dads. I mean, we have had the occasional dad, but I can't say we get that many. Communications were tailored more towards the entrepreneurial market because business owners have the ability to be able to say yes straight away. You know, they need the service. It's a good idea. They just use it. Whereas when you're dealing with a big company, even though they see the benefits, it takes a very long time with big companies to get it, you know, anywhere. They'll ring up and they'll ask all the questions and they'll sound positive, but you know, to go through all the right channels and meetings and things, it can take a very long time.
Corporate bureaucracy.
And I mean, some of the bigger companies these days have childcare on site, so you know, they're not really pro having their staff working remotely from the office at all. And now that they've got, you know, childcare within the building, Bubdesk doesn't really feature sadly in their strategy.
They used your idea, Meg.
Yes, that's right. No, it's okay.
So maybe for the other companies who don't have on-site childcare, the more Bubdesk has become better known, have you seen an increase in, you know, less resistance to that? Have you found that employers have become coming on board more so now that they know a bit more about you?
I think, I've definitely seen an increase in the inquiry level from corporates, but I haven't seen an increase in the usage. And I think, you know, there's probably more that I could do on my part with regards to that, because a lot of the companies that I spoke to were back in the early days where the model was different. And I think probably a lot of them don't actually even realise that, you know, it's not a creche model anymore. It's actually within childcare centres and there's several of them so that, you know, their staff can access whichever one is most accessible. So there's probably, a lack of communication on my part. But, you know, working a full-time job and a business, so it tends to always be all these things on your to-do list that you're just going to get around to next week. Yeah.
Well, hopefully using something like a podcast will get the word out there a bit further.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have a favourite success story? So perhaps someone who's come through the centre, or perhaps it's an employer that has used the centre and has had some really positive results with the staff that have come through, or perhaps it's just an individual who's, you know, had a particularly good experience.
I think, you know, my favourite success story is a graphic designer who uses Bubdesk, and she has a son who was, I think, about 2 when she started. And that separation anxiety, I mean, it really tugs on the heartstrings when you drop your baby off every morning at childcare and they bawl their eyes out and they're just so good at, you know, making you feel bad.
I think mummy guilt. Her,
you know, it, yeah.
Mummy guilt is alive and well.
Worst. Yeah, that's right. You know, so I've really enjoyed seeing her child settle in to Bubdesk, and it wasn't an easy road. You know, he uses the centre at Wembley, which is a gorgeous centre, but it still took weeks for him to, you know, to adjust to being in care with someone other than his mother. So that's been really great on the whole, you know, the transition side of things. But on the business side of things, I know that she has, you know, managed to pick up so many clients through the Bubdesk network, because all entrepreneurs need graphic designers. And I'm pretty sure that she does the best out of anyone. Anytime anyone is looking for any graphic design, you know, we're all happily recommending her. She does all the work for Bubdesk. And it's great, you know, because obviously I started Bubdesk to create a, you know, a successful business. But what I love to see is just all the businesses that are using the service being able to use it to expand their own networks and grow their own businesses.
I think the separation anxiety story with the children, dropping children off at daycare and dealing with that transition, is one that is very, very common. This lady who you're talking to us about, has she passed on any feedback to you about how Bubdesk has helped her and her son with that transition? I mean, obviously she's been there with him and she's been able to help him with the transition, but what feedback has she given you specifically about that?
I think it's just relief, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And she features on our website, actually. You could go to the homepage.
We're going to go and find her. We'll work out who you're talking about. Right.
But, you know, it was just the updates that I got during the week, you know, the weeks before he settled in, where she was like, oh, I just don't know if I can keep doing this. I'm going to give it one more go. And, you know, it's hard. And everyone, the educators and me, just saying, stick at it. You know, it can take a while. It can take up to 10 sessions for your baby to adjust. But just the sheer relief when he finally turned that corner and, you know, she could see that he was happy. They recently went away for a month and, you know, we thought that bringing him back to the centre after a month's break was going to be tricky, but, you know, he's in love with the educators. So it was actually really smooth. And I think that's lovely. That makes me happy.
Can you tell us some ways, you mentioned a company just before, can you tell us some ways that the employers that you have been working with or that have engaged Bubdesk, can you tell us some ways in which they have used the facility to help with their staff?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of companies that have said to their staff that they're welcome to use it as a transition service. I don't think they would pay for it, you know, definitely not the childcare element. They may choose to cover the Bubdesk fee, but at this stage it's just been, you know, I guess communicating that the service exists to their employees and giving them the option to use it as they transition back into work. And generally parents using the service wouldn't use it full time. You know, they might, I guess they, you know, normally they would do a mix. So maybe a day at a Bubdesk centre, a day working in the office, you know, just to sort of make that transition a bit simpler. We've got a lawyer who's going to start next month. And, you know, her company have said that, you know, she's more than welcome to work from a Bubdesk centre for the first couple of months because she's returning to work very early on. So she'll still be feeding and it just gives her the option to, you know, I know law is one of those industries where it's pretty tricky to take prolonged periods away from the legal profession. So she's going to get back into it pretty quickly.
I've spoken to her actually. I know who you're talking about and she's quite excited to give the Bubdesk thing a go. So hopefully that will work out really well.
Yep. Yeah, she's also in the great position where her husband is very proactive. She's got one of those awesome husbands who, you know, is hands-on and stay-at-home dad a few days a week. You know, I wish I had one of those.
Where can I get one of those?
So that brings us back to the fact that, you know, we've touched on the fact that you're also a woman doing the juggle, as we say, managing a career and business and family. So. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that there seems to be so much information out there pushed towards the fact that in order to make things easier for women after they've had a child, you should just go and start a business because, you know, if you start your own business, you're going to be completely flexible and you'll be able to do things when you want, how you want, and you could work at night or when they're asleep or whatever it may be. How did that work for you, Meg?
Well, yes, you know, I did think that by starting my own business, I was going to have all this work-life balance that everyone talks about. And I think Bubdesk is one of those services that helped everyone else get work-life balance. but for me personally, running it, I've never had less work-life balance in my whole life. You know, I am constantly up at all hours. And, you know, I thought that, running a business, well, I definitely was overly optimistic in my projections. You know, I thought I'd be paying myself a salary in the first 3 months and wouldn't need to be in my lovely oil and gas job anymore. And 6 months into business, I realized that, you know, it wasn't going quite as expected. So rather than, you know, perhaps change business model, I quit my job at that point. I thought, yep, got to give this business everything. I'll just quit my awesome job and throw myself into Bubdesk 100%, which, you know, almost caused my husband a midlife crisis, I think, a mini breakdown. And, you know, another 6 months at Bubdesk with, you know, not really much change in the revenues and definitely a need for a change in model, which is where I got to at the end of 2016. And shortly after that, I had to go back to work. So, you know, which sucks, to be honest. You know, you sort of have these high expectations for your business and in the end, just had to go back to work.
It's not an uncommon story though, is it? You know, of someone who decides to start a business for flexibility reasons or other reasons, only to find that the reality of running your own business is quite different to what you initially thought it was going to be. And you know, the fact that you can choose to work at nighttime doesn't actually always work out because the baby doesn't want to let you, or your clients don't really want you to work at night time. They'd rather you do it during business hours as well.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, your husband or your partner doesn't want you to work at night time either. It's sort of like, well, what happened to movies on the couch? It's like, oh, sorry, honey, that doesn't exist anymore. You know, I've got to get this business going. And it becomes an obsession, I think, you know, if you're really in love with your business and committed to it, you know, it does take a lot of time, and you could throw, you know, you could put endless hours into it because you love it. It's very difficult to switch your brain off and be present when you're talking to people and not be thinking about your business. So I think work-life balance is really something that I have definitely struggled with, and health has gone out the window. The last time I exercised was a long time ago. I've just taken up once a week Muay Thai, but I think that's more of, you know, an opportunity for me just to punch a few people and, you know, take out some aggression so that I'm you know, easier to deal with at home. I don't really do that much exercise.
100% honesty here. Is that not what you just cancelled this afternoon because you were too tired from working on your business?
I did cancel today. It was the first time I've cancelled, but it wasn't working on the business. I just had one of those nights last night where, you know, you just lie awake for whatever reason. I could not sleep. So, yes, I did cancel, and now I'm talking to you guys instead, which is way, way more interesting.
It's all right. I'm not picking on you. I haven't done any exercise in forever either.
is now where I insert that I just did a 10K run?
Yeah, stop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we don't want to know. We don't want to know.
That was me getting back to health. Don't worry.
Meg, you've mentioned work-life balance and that it's a struggle because you're managing, you know, your family and your business and your career because you're still working or you've gone back to work. It is a struggle. But tell us, what strategies do you use to attempt to help you with that?
Well, I actually find that, you know, now I work full time and I'm also working on Bubdesk, I don't get that many hours in the day to do Bubdesk related stuff. And I actually find that the reduction in hours makes me a lot more productive, I guess. I work on, I get like 20 minutes on the bus in the morning, a lunch break, 20 minutes on the bus home, maybe an hour after my son's in bed. And I've really got to prioritize the top things on the list. And, you know, rather than put endless hours into 80% of the stuff that has no value, I've really been able to hone in now on the 20% that has to be done. And it's forced me, I guess, also to come up with smarter ways to work. You know, I spent 3 months in Thailand last year just taking a break. And for the first month, I didn't want to think at all about Bubdesk. I did as little as possible. But, you know, the months two and three came along and I couldn't help myself. But I found that just being away from it, you know, totally removed, helped me to come up with some initiatives that I've been able to implement this year that just make it a lot more self-sustaining. You know, there was a lot of things, a lot of redundant activities in last year's processes that I thought, okay, this year I've got to do it smarter. Automating as much as possible.
Yeah, I definitely find the statement that the work will expand to fit the time available is one that is very true for me, which sounds exactly what you're describing, Meg.
Yeah, that's it. That is exactly it. Yeah. And then on the home front, I mean, when my son was younger, we always had an au pair. And because his immune system was terrible, we just went down that route. And I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff I wouldn't have been able to accomplish without that help because I don't have a hands-on husband who's particularly, you know, great with Ollie at all. Hope he's not listening. I don't think he's very good at cooking and he can build stuff. But, you know, with the cooking comes every single dirty pot and pan in the kitchen.
Oh, the mess. Yes.
The mess, you know. And
he's a chef, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right, you know. But at least this year we've agreed that he does the daycare pick up and drop off, which makes a huge impact because that's a lot of time out of your day just to get your child to daycare and picked up again. And that enables me to work full-time and do bub desk in the gaps.
So you're a very busy woman, Meg, and we thank you very much for giving you some of our time, some of your time. But before we let you go, we've got a few questions we'd like to finish up with if you are okay with that.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
So first one, what words do you live by, Meg? Do you have anything that you use as a bit of a daily mantra for yourself?
You know, I guess if you think about values and things, I guess one of mine has always been resilience. You know, it's just not letting things get you down too much and always looking for, I always look for the positives. And when challenges come up, I just always look for a way around it. You know, there aren't many obstacles that get put in my way that I think, oh, well, that's the end of that. And one of those people who you put an obstacle in my way and I'm just like, well, just watch me. So I think, you know, resilience has always been a good one.
And Bub Desk is a good example of that. Of the yes, resilience.
Refuse to quit, damn it. My husband will be proven wrong. I live you by can... that too.
That sounds like there's your
that's
mantra.
That's the mantra. We got it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also, you know, it's the Bub Desk mission that, you know, I want to create a world where parents can have it all. That's, you know, and I do live by that. I don't think that running a business or having a career and a family has to be a choice. I just don't understand in this day and age why we can't do it all.
Yes.
Because we can. That's why we can. Meg, what's one piece of advice that you would give to women who are managing the juggle?
Well, if it's an entrepreneurial type person, I think, you know, from my own experience, I would say, if you are employed and you're looking to start a business, not to do anything too reckless. I probably wouldn't go and take a personal loan for $100,000 without asking your husband and put all that money into your business. Probably wouldn't do that.
I'd probably not quit your job 5 minutes
and
later.
I probably wouldn't quit your job immediately after. Probably wouldn't quit your job until your business can pay you some kind of, you know, reliable income. That's what I would do differently if I had my time again.
Probably. Meg, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time that you've given to us. We understand that you have a special offer for our listeners. Would you like to share that with us?
Yes. That is true. Well, if there is anyone out there who's looking to do, you know, to start Bub Desk anytime in the near future, if they drop us an email, then we do have an offer, which is $10 for 10 days. The childcare fees are additional, I'm afraid. But $10, you can use Bub Desk for 10 days over a 30-day period, which gives you a good opportunity to sort of, you know, try it, test it out before you commit to anything longer term.
That sounds great. Thanks, Meg. How do they go about contacting you for that?
Oh, just send an email. Easiest way, just info@bubdesk.com.au.
Great. All right.
If you'd like any more information about Bub Desk or to book a tour of your local centre, you can visit bubdesk.com.au or you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. That's all from us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you think. Leave us a review. It helps other people to find out about the show.
And if you want to continue this conversation with us, then please come and join us on Facebook.
See you next time. Happy juggling.
Thanks for listening. Bye.